Hey everybody, how's it going? I'm Nick Baldwin. Welcome back to another episode of Commander Social, the podcast where we talk to massive agents in the real estate industry and leaders around their social media strategies to help you get better at yours. I'm here with my co-host, Leslie Jackson. How's it going, Leslie?
Hi, Nick. I am so good and so excited to be here. As always, I love this podcast and I cannot wait to introduce our guests.
Yeah, we have a really awesome guest today. She has probably just shy of a million followers on TikTok, around 800,000 followers on TikTok, about 100,000 followers on Instagram. She's a real estate agent out of Atlanta, Georgia, and her name is Glenda Baker, and she's here with us today. Thank you for being here, Glenda.
Thanks, guys. I'm excited to be here with you.
Thank you so much for taking the time. Thank you so much. We have so many awesome questions for you. Hopefully they're, I wrote them.
So, I hope they're awesome, right?
So there's a lot of questions I have because you have such a big following and produce so much content. There was probably a moment at which you decided that you needed to get super purposeful about your social media. So when did that happen, and what was the first platform that you decided to get to go all in on?
So back in 2016, I started doing these Glenda Live, and I had somebody come in and shoot me from my office, and we called it Glenda Live, kind of like Gary V, Ask Gary V, kind of a similar thing like that. And they were horrible. They were terrible. And I got whacked out about an inspector and got on my Facebook Live and started talking from my car. And one of my followers said, this should be called Post from the Porsche, because I have a Porsche Panamera. And I was like, oh, I like that. So then I started going live from my car. And I just loved it. It was like I was getting to talk to my friend. I was getting it off my chest. Sometimes it was preaching from the Porsche, but
I like preaching.
And then I was at a conference in February of 2020. And Zachary Faust, a friend of mine he wasn't a friend of mine at that time.
Yeah, I know Zachary.
This guy in the Tom Ferry ecosystem, Tom posted a TikTok and it had 43,000 views. And I looked at my friend Sergio and I said, if that guy can do TikTok, I can do TikTok. So I came back here to Atlanta. I talked to a videographer and it was February of 2020. And I was like, oh my stars, that's so expensive. I can't do that. And then, you know, kind of the pandemic set in. And then once I realized that we were going to get on the other side of that, I said, you know what, I'm going to call that guy back. And I called that videographer back and said, hey, I really want to get intentional about video. I want to shoot TikTok video. I want you to shoot TikTok videos for me. And I started working with him October 7th of 2020. And my life changed.
Yes. We're gonna get into that for sure.
I'm so curious.
Yeah, I imagine so. You probably got in on the ground level of TikTok at that point.
Well, I guess so. I mean, it was so funny because I thought, oh, I have to dance. And I was like, I'm not going to dance. I look so silly. But you know, I have to tell you, I didn't know the platform well enough to know that I was not the demographic of TikTok. Like, I didn't understand that it was kids dancing. Like, I didn't know that. I just knew this one guy had put a real estate video and had 43,000 views. And that seemed like a lot to me. And I thought, if he can do it, I can do it. So it was probably great that I was super naive in what I thought the platform was. Because had I really done a deep dive and understood, oh, it's kids dancing, that probably would have dissuaded me from doing the videos. But I didn't.
Right. Yeah. I love that. And I feel like every time we speak with somebody about, you know, their social channels and how they grew it so quickly, it's all about authenticity and just being yourself and not trying to be like somebody else. So I love that you mentioned that.
Yeah. I mean, I have a distinct personality. I mean, obviously. Yes.
By the way, I just love your accent. And if you go and listen to Glenda on TikTok. You'll see why she has so many followers, you guys. So check her out.
Well, Glenda, I was going to say that the reason why it took me so long to get on there is because I don't want anyone to see me dancing either.
But you know, it's such a myth that it's just kids dancing, because oh. I mean, we just closed on a buyer from TikTok. We just showed a buyer from TikTok, and they are not kids dancing. They are 35 to 48 years old. And they are buying houses left and right. And I just got a DM from somebody who has a $10 million property that they want me to find an agent for. So the Glenda in my area. So if you think that people that are not your buyer and seller are not on TikTok, you are missing the boat. And that lady that has that $10 million property found me through a tennis video that I posted, because I played and I talked about this experience on a tennis court. And that after I posted that video, I got like 25,000 followers. Do you think that the country club ladies are not the ladies buying and selling real estate? Absolutely, they are.
That video you're talking about has millions of views.
Yeah, it has 2.5 million views. It's been shared, I want to say 19,000 times.
Wow.
One of the professional players at Wimbledon sent me a message over the weekend. I love your TikToks.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's so cool.
That's so cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about your initial strategy, because, you know, as our listeners are listening in right now, you know, you discussed about that guy that did it and you're like, well, I could do it, right? Yeah. So what was your initial strategy and what did you hope to gain from it when you got into that mode of I could do this?
Yeah. My initial strategy was I was going to shoot. So we were going to shoot one day because the guy, the videographer, Denver, who he's not a videographer, he's a filmmaker, he's a predator, he's a producer, shooter, editor. So he does all of it for me. And he is a true filmmaker. He does stuff with Netflix and he does amazing commercials and stuff.
Cool.
So I feel very fortunate that I found him. And I have to tell you, while I come up with the ideas and while I am in front of the camera, I think that Denver has really brought out the best in me. But initially, my goal was to shoot 8 TikToks and 4 longer form videos in the afternoon. So I wanted to do sugar and spice real estate advice, which is what the TikToks were going to be. And then in the afternoon, I was going to do the Glenda show. And I was going to do 4 20-minute videos and have a guest, just kind of like Jada Pinkett Smith and the Red Table, and do right. that. And I was going to do real estate from the road where, you know, we went and did real estate. And the first time we were doing real estate from the road, I was horrible. Oh my God. It was so bad. It was so bad. We didn't even post it. It was so bad. And then we were going to do the Glenda show, and the Glenda show was kind of boring. And so, but the TikToks I was going to post twice a week, 8 videos. Okay. So that gave me a month's worth of content, shoot once a month. And the TikToks kind of started, people were watching them. You know, I started with 122 followers, and then I had 1,000, and then I had 3,000. I was like, oh, this is good. This is good. And then I posted a video and my eyes were really red in this video. And they're like, Miss Glenda is zooted. And it has like 700,000 views. And Denver says, don't post any more videos. And I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't know what happened. He goes, don't post any more videos. So I go 10 days and don't post any videos. And he's like, why aren't you posting any videos? I'm like, well, you told me not to post any. He goes, no, I just needed to edit your eyes because everybody thought you were stoned. And so then the next time he came, we shot, he goes, okay, so we'll shoot your 8 videos. I'm like, no. Let's just shoot as many as I can shoot. And I shot 12 and then 20. And now I've gotten to where I can shoot like 50, 55 videos in one day.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Wow. Okay, 50 so
to 55 videos in one day.
Yeah, I mean, I am a machine. So what happened? And Nick, if this is not your next question, you can just say, Glenda, that's not my next question.
Okay.
So it's 11 hours. Denver gets there at 7. He sets up from 7 to 8. I have a call to greatness at 8 a.m. That's about 10 minutes long. And I come down and we shoot at my home. I feel super comfortable in my space. I have all of my outfits lined up because I change outfits like I'm carrying Dr. Wood.
I was going to ask that.
And so from 8:10 to 8:30, we frame out the morning and kind of what direction we're going to go and what we're going to shoot. And we shoot from 8:30 to 11:30. We go to lunch from 11:30 to 12:30. 12:30 to 1, we frame out the afternoon. And then we shoot typically from like 1 to 6 p.m.
Wow. That's like a movie shoot.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
And I change my outfits and, you know, I know exactly through now the next question, and maybe it's not, if you just,
well, I do want to ask you a question that has to do with your storytelling, because that seems to be your theme. And I think that like this question kind of fits in there, right? Because you're doing 55 videos in a day. That's a lot of stories to tell. So how are you coming up with these stories? Like we talked about the tennis story, which was great. How do you come up with these stories? Like you have such a life where the funniest things happen to you. So how do you come up with these stories? Or they just happen to you?
My mother would tell you attract what you project, but no, I mean, I've been selling real estate since Jesus was a baby. And so the tennis story that happened like 5 years ago.
Okay.
It wasn't like it happened yesterday, but I had just started back my tennis season the day before we shot. So tennis was really on my mind, but I mean, my stars and stripes, you're a real estate agent. Shit happens to you all of the time. You got locked out of the house. You got locked in the basement. You fell out of the basement. You fell down the stairs. Your buyer lost their earnest money. Your buyer lost the house. Your seller didn't take the first offer. They ended up taking less. I mean, there is a story in every single facet of the real estate transaction. And if you don't have a story, because a lot of people say, oh, but Glenda, I'm a new agent. I don't have any stories. I haven't been selling real estate since Jesus was a baby. Well, listen office to what's going on. Read articles about real estate, luxury real estate stories, Atlanta real estate, and talk about what is happening in your market. I think that a lot of people, and for me, I derive inspiration from many different industries. So, and my grandfather used to tell stories. He told me, I mean, and the way he could tell the story was like, you could see, touch, and feel what he was telling you. Like I never forget, he would tell me this story about his mother going out to the meat house and taking this big knife and cutting the bacon off for breakfast in the morning, and about the dew and the rain on the tin roof and the smell of it. And like, I could feel it. Like it was like I was there. And so for me, I want to tell stories that people can feel like they were in the transaction with me. And so, and I want them to know that. I want them to feel it. So for me, that's kind of the deal. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And I think a lot of it is the way you tell the story. Like if you're telling a real estate story, like I remember one video in particular, I can't remember the entire story, but you start out like this. You're like, so one time I sold this big ass house.
Once
you know what I mean? That's how people talk, and you're relating to them that way.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing is that like a lot of people said to me when I started, they were like, oh, Glenda, like you say bad words and, you know, you tell people you sold the wrong house. Like that makes you look super unprofessional. Like why would you tell that story? People are sick of scripted reality. People relate to people that are imperfect. And I think that that is a lot of the problem is that we're trying to portray this perfect selling sunset like vibe. And that's not what real estate is like. And so when I'm looking off camera and I'm talking to Sam or I'm talking to Denver, the viewer is, they're like, oh, I'm getting to listen to Glenda talk to her friend. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm getting to overhear something that I'm not getting anywhere else. They're not coming to me for real estate porn. Give me a break. If they want to see that, they're going to Zillow. If you want to look at beautiful houses and all that shit, you're not coming to me. You're coming to me for the honest to God truth. And I ask people, I'm like, why do you follow me? Like, I don't, like, it is so weird to me. I've got all different kinds of people following me. Why do you follow me? I'm never going to buy or sell a house. I love listening to your stories. I love your voice. You are honest. You are a great shooter. You are no holds barred. Like, they like that about me. And that's just me. So it's easy for me to do it because that's kind of how I am.
Right. I love it. And let's talk a little bit more about just your followers. I love that you mentioned your followers and that you have several people and different types of people out there that are following you. But give the listeners a little bit of insight of when your follower count skyrocketed and what did you do to keep up to adapt to that?
Oh my goodness. So I've been pretty consistent about in the increase of the followers. And I didn't really notice it too much. I noticed like I would get a few thousand followers, but I didn't really notice it jump big until I started like talking about things that were controversial, like hedge funds buying up houses and keeping people from first-time home buyers from buying houses, or sellers not looking at FHA or VA loans. Something that the real average Joe could bite into. And I kind of got into this little TikTok argument with Grant Cardone. And then it real like I there was really like this polarizing commenting that I was like, oh wow, people are really listening to me. And so that was probably the turning point for me, was when I got into that little argument with Grant Cardone. And it wasn't an argument. It was more my commentary on a video that he had posted. And the way that I interpreted the video, he wasn't a fan of. But what I loved was that it opened conversation in the comments among the Glendoratis, and that's what they call themselves. I mean, they named themselves, they voted, they wanted to be called the Glendoratis because I had all these followers and I didn't know what to do with them. But it's hilarious because I don't even have to say any, if somebody like throws shade or calls me Karen, I don't even have to say anything because the Glendoratis will jump in and they're like, oh, you don't realize she's been selling real estate forever. Oh, you're new here. You obviously know. So so fun that they've got my back. It's awesome.
It's like you just got here. Okay. Like we've been here for years since Jesus was a baby.
Yeah. It's exactly a baby. It's so fun. And what's even cooler is like I'll be out and people will be like, oh, you're from TikTok. You're the real estate agent from TikTok. And I'm like, I am the real estate agent from TikTok. Like, yeah. I follow you.
So it's cool. That is great. Well, listen, you know, they're social media celebrities now. Like people are legit famous from social media. I mean, people are becoming millionaires from social media. My kids watch these other kids play video games on YouTube and they're millionaires from it. Like this is the world we live in these days, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, I mean, in all honesty, y'all, I'm a 55-year-old real estate agent in Atlanta, Georgia. Like who in the world would have thought, you know, a year ago, 18 months ago, that people would jump on the Glenda train? I mean, it's just been so strange, but I feel so honored, you know, and flattered that people even care what I have to say.
Do you think, do you ever get listings because of your follower count? Like, do you use that in your listing consultation? Like I have a million followers and we can promote your house in a big way. Do you use that?
Hell to the yeah. Absolutely. Because like, I mean, there is no other agent in my market that can say, so sit down, grasp tightly. I want to make sure you listen to this. There's no other agent in my marketplace, and there's probably not any other agent in the country that can say, I have 1.5 million views on average a week across my video catalog.
It's unbelievable.
That's amazing. That's TikTok's number. TikTok says that I have the stickiest follower count of anybody in the real estate space.
So that means that you consistently get this like the same viewers and more over time, and they watch the video from beginning to end.
31% of my people watch the video start to finish multiple times. But also, once they start following me, the unfollow is so low they can't even measure it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that, and do you, now I haven't noticed this, but do you use your social media for your listings? Do you use your TikTok for your listings, or is it mostly?
No.
So, okay. So then how do you, okay. So you're not using it for the listings. You're just saying, listen, I'm very visible.
Right.
And my visibility will help you.
People are coming to me for my real estate expertise.
Right.
People are working with me because of my real estate expertise. They're not coming to me for real estate porn. People don't come to me because I put 123 Banana Street on my social media. People are going to come to me, and that's going to help your listing because I am thought of as the real estate expert. Mm-hmm. If you search at hashtag Atlanta real estate on TikTok, 71% of the videos under Atlanta real estate are me.
Wow.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
And everybody said to me, oh, don't hashtag real estate. Don't hashtag Atlanta real estate. That's ridiculous. You're never going to show up. 71% of Atlanta real estate is me. And I hashtag Glenda Baker, my name. People were like, oh, why are you hashtagging your name? That's stupid. Well, just so you know, it shows me the cumulative number of views across all of my videos, which exceeds 100 million views. Hello.
Yeah, I will say though, obviously I don't have the follower count or the views that you do, but I will say when I use real estate as a hashtag, as opposed to when I don't, I do get substantially more views on my videos, substantially more.
Yeah.
And it's an obsession with people.
Well, and people are looking for that micro place. So Atlanta real estate, East Cobb real estate, Atlanta Country Club, tagging that stuff, like every, like if you looked at Atlanta Country Club, like my videos are the ones that are coming up all of the time on Instagram.
Yeah.
No, I love
100%.
It. 100%. I mean, I just want to also add here, Glenda, that you've taken what was, you know, just the basic real estate transaction, how it's supposed to be when you hire an agent, you know, into social media, into the place where like most people are on every single day, every single minute of the day, and you've gained trust from your followers, which I love. And, you know, that's the biggest thing in real estate. It's like, I have to trust you, like you, and know you in order to hire you. And you just took that simple recipe and placed it into TikTok. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is the thing is like, how long would it take you to get 100 million people to notice you?
Right.
Like how long would it take you to get 100 million people to know, like, and trust you?
So long. It would take forever. It would take forever.
Yeah.
You'd be exhausted if you were on the boots, on at ground zero.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit earlier about your strategy with content and coming up with content, but you're shooting 55 videos in a day. When does your content strategy session happen, and how does that look? Because that's a lot of videos to bang out. Do you have a group of people that you sit down with and you're like, okay, let's tell this story. Let's tell this story. Let's do this. How does that look?
No. So all month long, I make notes in my phone that say, okay, I want to talk about earnest money. I want to talk about due diligence. I want to tell this story about this. I want to tell this story about that. So in my notes, I make a little list, and then from 8:10 to 8:30, Denver and I and Sam sit down and strategize about how, like, is this a story time? Is this a 1, 2, 3? Is this a you're not going to believe this? Is this a grasp tightly? But really for me, there's not a bunch of scripting. It's literally, I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it, the way I want to do it, period. And that's it. So, and it's all, there's nothing scripted. I mean, literally it just rolls out. And, you know, I give a ton of credit to Denver that he's figured out how to, you know, edit it so that it's amazing. And it's so funny because with the tennis video, it felt clunky to me the way it had been edited. It felt very choppy. And I was like, I'm not even going to post this. Like, I don't like the way it, like, there's something about it. And it kind of makes me look a little petty. I don't think I want to post this. And then I needed to post something on a Saturday because I post every single morning. I needed to post something on a Saturday. And I'm like, I'm going to post that tennis video because nobody will see it on a Saturday. And within 2 hours, it had 1,000 views. And it was insanity.
Okay, so that's a good point there. So you post every day.
Yeah. Hello.
Right. So, so like how many times I like realistically, I mean, that's realistic for you, but for, you know, an agent who's really trying to up their follower and up their follower count, up their views, would you suggest realistically making content for every single day of the month, or is like 2 or 3 times a week sufficient?
Well, let's eat the elephant one bite at a time. So remember when I started, I was just posting twice a week.
Right.
So that was my goal, to post Tuesday and Thursday. Like literally, I just wanted to post Tuesday and Thursday. And then as I got better at shooting the videos, I had more content to post. And now I've got 55 videos in a month. I'm posting one on social, one on TikTok, and then I'll post a different one on Instagram. And then that LinkedIn, I'm trying to fall in love with LinkedIn, but I swear to God.
It's very hard. It's very hard to fall in love with it.
It is, but I'm trying to, you know, post on LinkedIn, and then we post YouTube shorts, but every platform is a different video. So it's not like once upon a time I sold a big ass house goes on TikTok and right. YouTube on Tuesday. Everything is mix and match. And at first I was going to do like listen in on LinkedIn and Glenda goes off on Instagram. And then I just really decided like, people like me everywhere. So let me just kind of post it and, you know, do it everywhere and see how it goes. And y'all, my Instagram has like, I don't know what in the world happened on Instagram, but somebody found me on Instagram. And so my little son, I told him, I said, we were at the beach Mother's Day. And I said, if I could just get to 85,000 this week, that would be so cool. Cause I was like at 4,300. Mm-hmm. And so he told me, he's like, he calls me Happy Bug. It's my stepson. He goes, Happy Bug. He goes, you're going to get to 85,000 this week. So sure enough, I got to 85,000 while we were at the beach Mother's Day. And so I sent him a message, I don't know, a few weeks ago. And I said, hey, have you looked at my Instagram, how it's growing? Like I'll have 100,000 by Grant's birthday. That's my goal. So everything is one bite at a time, but you know, TikTok didn't anticipate that I would get to 750 until the end of August. So I'm way ahead of that because I'm like, it's, I don't know, 800,000 or something.
Yeah. Like last night I checked, it's 777. So
yeah.
And TikTok is, Instagram last time I checked yesterday was like 96 or 97,000. So you're almost there.
Yeah, I know. So I'm gaining at about 1,000 followers a week, which is so strange to me because I don't feel like that there's 1,000 people that could find me, you know, but they are. So it's crazy.
So, one of the things that comes along with social media and having such a big following is negativity from the comments. And you have your, what are they called? The Glendettes, the Glendarellis, what are they?
Glendarottis.
So they defend you. The Glendarottis defend you. But like, you have to get some comments when you're reading, because there's some stat, 80% of our thoughts every day are negative, because people are just negative Nancys all the time. How do you handle that negativity? Like people must say really terrible things. How do you handle it? And how do you continue to keep that positive attitude and not let that bring you down?
Oh, my stars and stripes. Okay. So there's not that much negative.
First off.
But the people that are negative, I will typically sass back because the sass is strong with this one, believe it or not. So I'll sass back one time. And then if they sass back again, I will say, you do realize that the three buttons at the top right allow you to unfollow or block me, because I want you to find somebody who is worthy of you and what you want to see. So to me, I always want to say, you know what? I always want to clap back at them one time, but if they get too nasty, I just block them because I don't need that negativity in my life. I mean, I just don't need it. And again, like I'm not a brain surgeon, like nobody has based on my opinion. And so I think that a lot of times it's so easy to focus on that one negative comment and not look at the thousand of comments that say, you're so awesome. Thank you so much. You inspired me. You impacted me. You taught me this. I learned this. I'm a new agent. I'm a better agent because of you. So like anytime that I see that negative shit, I literally look at it for 1 second and I go live in the positive comments. Like I live in all of that because every single morning when I wake up, I'm here to do three things: inspire, impact, and inform people. And if I've done that, it has been a great day.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Yeah. It's super easy to slip into that one negative comment and have that back and forth. It's super easy. You did that to Grant. You did that to Grant and he stayed on it, but
he did. And you know, his team was whacked. I mean, they sent me a big, gigantic DM and, you know, he had a lot of comments to say about me and he even brought it up again. But you know, this is the thing is that, so if I believe what I'm saying, I'm happy to double down on my belief, on my opinion, because I believe I'm not doing this for views. I literally make videos for the average Joe. That is who is my audience. That is who follows me. Kim Kardashian and Grant Cardone aren't following me to get my advice. The average Joe is following me. And that's who I want to derive information from me. And so the deal is that what he posted didn't make sense to me. And like I posted a video about millennials, that the reason that they didn't want to buy houses is because they had too much choice, that they could return something, anything to Amazon. And the millennials jumped on me, or maybe the next one, whichever the next one is, I can't remember, Generation X or Y or Z or whatever they are. And I said, they talked about, we have more student debt than anybody. Pay has not gone up at the same rate as inflation. The cost to live, the cost of housing has become unaffordable. We can't get our offers accepted. So it's not that we don't want to be homeowners, it's that we can't be homeowners. And I was wrong. I was 100% wrong. And I did a video and I said, hey, I did this video and I was absolutely 100% wrong. And so when I am wrong, I'm not afraid to admit that because I might be wrong. And I think that people appreciate that about me. But when I think I'm right, I'm telling you right now, I'm not backing down from Grant Cardone or that Tom Cruise guy in North Carolina or any of those guys, because the bottom line is that they're not catering to the average Joe.
I think it's very important for leaders in the industry like yourself, yes, to admit when they're wrong. It's very important and it's very hard to do. And it's very, I think people respect that. And listen, that argument with Grant may have been very difficult for him, but hey, look, you benefited from it in a big way. So it was worth it.
Well, I might add that his most watched video is his video dogging me.
The Glendarellis. I keep forgetting. Glendaroddies came after you in that aspect.
It's all good, you know, because I do think that he has some good advice, like Dave Ramsey. You know, I think that they have some things that are good advice, but you know, you guys know that if you don't have any credit, you can't get a mortgage, period. So
100%.
Cash for all this shit, like that all sounds good, but in reality, you're not getting a mortgage if you've never had a credit card. It's just that simple.
No, I mean, it's fact. Hashtag fact. There's a hashtag I like to use. Well, Glenda, thank you so much.
Yeah,
this has been
tons
of fun having you on the show. And, you know, one of the reasons why I think you're so great is because you do say what's on your mind. And we need more of that these days. You can't be afraid to, you know, if you're passionate about something, get out there and be passionate about it. And that's what I respect about you in a big way. Thank you so much, Leslie. Any final thoughts?
Yes. Go follow Glenda. You all go and follow Glenda.
Yeah.
With two N's. All right.
At 1 million followers, she is giving away no prizes at all. So if you're the 1 millionth follower, you get a nice, you get a handshake and a pat on the back and you go on your merry way.
She's would a joy that, to watch.
Or what? Like a million. Like, I can't even imagine that.
Wow, that's nuts. She's not Oprah. She's not giving away a car to everybody. But thank you for being here. If you liked what you heard on this podcast, smash the subscribe button, as the YouTubers say. Give us a like, follow us, share us. We really appreciate that. And we appreciate Glenda being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Glenda.
And we'll see you guys on the next one. Have a great day.
Bye.